Blog Talk Radio.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. The mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach your family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the ark.
Hallelujah. I don't know why someone would call me at this time.
We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He's the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy. Single-handed, the mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Hello, men. Hallelujah. Mighty men of valor and young boys, men in training. Hallelujah, glory to God.
Yes.
Father God,
yes.
Thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship, the men's fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for those who are listening. The sounds of my voice. We thank God for Minister Jerry Cleveland, who's on the line as well. We thank God for what you're going to do. Holy Spirit, have your way. Energize us. Hallelujah. Touch our clay that they may speak with excellent accuracy and boldness. And let signs and wonders follow in Jesus' name.
Father God, we give you the victory. We give you the honor.
We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Because the victory is yours already, oh God. We give it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are the one and only, glory to God. You are God, and above you there is no other. We praise your name in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Along with our co-host, Mr. Jerry Cleveland. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Bless God. Yes.
Glory to God. We are fired for the Lord, you know, because look here, we have made it through almost through the entire day. I know we've had some challenges, but guess what? We got the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.
We have the victory. We batting 1,000. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all mighty men of valor, I need to tell y'all something later on. But anyway, I'm so glad that you tuned in to us. Hallelujah. This is the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Hallelujah, RYMMI International. I tell you, we just praise God for you. excuse me. And at this time, hallelujah, Minister Joy, if you
yes, would, sir.
Housekeeping suggestions.
Housekeeping suggestions, yes, sir. I have them right here. The housekeeping suggestions are, as always, be prayed up, get prayed up, do whatever you have to do to get ready. Number two, get your heart and your mind and your spirit ready. That's, you know, number two. The next one is get your equipment, your tools ready. You know, when you might find this a little humorous, Bishop, but when kids come to me in the room and they say to me, "Do you have a pencil? Do you have a pen?" I say, "Yes, I do." "Well, I wonder if I can burn it." "Well, you know what?" And sometimes I have to charge them some collateral. Okay, so that's another lesson in that. But I said, "Well, did you know you were coming to work today? Did you know you were coming to school today? Did you know you needed some tools or some equipment?" You bring your stuff with you. Get your tools. Get your pencil. Get your pen. Get your paper. Your pad. Get everything that you need to work, develop, and grow with. Have it ready. Next thing is get the Bible. That's the main textbook.
Hallelujah.
The Word of God. Get the Bible. The Word of God is your textbook. And as Bishop always says, this is a open book test. So don't be afraid to use your text. Don't be afraid to look through and scan through. As a matter of fact, put down some of that brilliant technology text and pick up the hardcover, the hardback, the softback, because that will keep you in shape. That will keep you in developmental shape, because you will have to search through and know just about where the books in the Bible are. Okay, so rather than thumb through with your thumb and select with your finger, you'll forget what you know about the hard text by doing that constantly. So the next thing, I think I'm trying to develop this as I go. I'm talking about I know what the housekeeping things are, but get the things that you need to develop and to grow, and get your pencils and things to write things down. Because if you ink it, it's there. So that's what you need.
Amen. You know, I just thought about something.
Okay.
Them same children in your classroom, mm-hmm. They don't forget to bring their cell phone, do they?
Oh my God.
They may forget everything. They may leave the textbook home, the notebook, the pens, the pencil. But
yes.
You got the cell phone? Everybody got the cell phone.
Everybody. That's
them,
you know what?
Them, don't
between us, that is their text.
Oh my goodness!
Their text. Let me tell you how. Can I just a little bit tell you how this works?
Yes.
When they come in, they sit down and they pull it out and they start thumbing through it and they start looking for stuff, and it's nothing related to what you're doing. It's never related to what you're doing unless it's a test. Now, if it's a test or a quiz or something, then that will relate it. Okay, that puts it in. But other than that, they just sit down and they think that's what they come there for or something. I don't know what that is. But nevertheless, that is their text, and they don't worry about bringing a notebook or a pencil or most of the time. Any of that stuff, they can get it from you. So, give me a quarter every time I give you a pencil. Give me a quarter when you give me my pencil back. I'll give you a quarter back.
All right, that sounds like a fair deal, and that's what you got to do.
Yes,
and after a while, they say, "Well, I don't have a quarter." So, you want to ask somebody else to
take
a quarter or to lend your pencil.
Yes, sir.
But you know, something you said I thought was really significant about getting the actual hard cover of the Bible.
Yes.
Because you can't highlight a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, you can't highlight a scripture in a cell phone.
Oh, well, Bishop, you know what? Actually, you can.
You can? Oh, my goodness.
You
can. Well, let's back up. See, I'm old school.
I know.
Highlight some scriptures in the Bible. The hard copy.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, you have to know what comes after and what comes before.
To get to it, okay.
To get to it, yes.
All right, I'm gonna leave that alone then, because I'm.
When you go through the Bible on your phone, you don't have to know any of that. You just flip through till you find the one you want.
Well, thank you, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Well, this
yes,
is what
sir.
I'm going to talk about today, praise the Lord. A man, a young boy. Hey, we gonna talk about the God kind of man.
Amen.
See, because you don't just want to be a man.
Yes.
You want to be the God kind of man.
Yes.
And I'm going to start off with something. I'm going to tell you what the God kind of man is not. The God kind of man is not violent.
Yes.
I mean, towards other people, circumstances, because, animals are violent.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make you a man because you're violent.
That's right.
Glory to God. The God kind of man is not a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You heard people that you even get them in church. Some folk are bullies in church. You have the one of the presidents called the bully pulpit. He called the presidency a bully pulpit. I don't know where he got that from. But there have been bullies in the pulpit. That's why some folk have said they never step foot in another church building because of bullies in the pulpit. That's not the God kind of man.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one guy talking, and he's supposed to be a preacher, and he was talking and saying, this is what you tell your wife. If she don't like it, that's tough, because she's a man. It's just telling, saying stuff like that. My Bible tells me to love your wife.
Yes.
Treat her like Christ loved the church. You love your wife.
That's right.
Come on now. You're going to bully your wife, bully your children, bully the members of the church. Come on now. Bully your family. No, that's not the God kind of man. So, a person who tries to do something dirty and call it clean, It's not the God kind of man.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
a deliberate act. He's trying to do something dirty and call it clean. Now, there are times where we fall, we slip. I don't know if you've ever walked somewhere and there was a wet ground or something, and you slip.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't you didn't deliberately do that. You made a mistake yourself. But you picked yourself back up. You know your place was not on the ground.
That's right.
So the man, if he does make a mistake, he realized, oh, I made a mistake. Lord, forgive me. He goes back to the Lord and deals with it that way. That's
yes.
the kind of man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to understand some things. And you say, well, how can I find out what the God kind of man? Well, you got to have that knowledge. And as our minister Jerry mentioned, life is an open book test.
Mm-hmm.
And the main book is the Word of God, the Scripture, the Holy Writ, the Holy Word, the sword, whatever you want to call it.
Yes. That's our textbook.
In the book. You just read and know. Number one, hallelujah, the knowledge of God kind of man is in the book. It's in the book. And reading the book is not enough. Because you got five levels of knowledge. You got learned knowledge. You got revealed knowledge. You got activity knowledge, modeling knowledge, and teaching knowledge. I said that too fast, didn't I? Learned knowledge, revealed knowledge, activity knowledge, modeling knowledge, and teaching knowledge.
Yeah.
Learned knowledge is just reading the book. But it doesn't hit you until you get revelation. Oh, that's revealed knowledge.
What does that mean, Bishop?
Revelation means that you get what God is saying out of the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals to you the nuances of what you just read. Because what you just read may say, God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm.
But the nuance says, God loves, takes pleasure in, is not willing to forsake a joyous, hilarious, prostitute giver whose heart is in his giving. That's revelation.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit gives that to you.
Okay.
But you can't really get the true knowledge without the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm,
you can
read.
That's learned knowledge. In fact, you're reading any books, your textbook in school or whatever. But that doesn't do any good until you got revealed knowledge.
Revealed knowledge? Can I add something to that?
Yes, you can.
Here's what I want to add to that. But when I get a picture of the revealed knowledge to me, when I see, when this becomes alive to me, when this becomes, when I practice this enough to see it come to pass in my life, oh, I am a hilarious giver. Oh, I have become the one that Christ is a prompt. Oh, I have become a prompt to do it. I've become prompt to do it. How did you become prompt to do it? Well, I used to be a holdbacker. I used to be one that would hold back even when the offer time comes, I might get there and I might feel like, oh, I might feel like I'm going to give this. I might feel, let's say for example, that I'm going to give $10 today, but when offering comes, I've become hilarious and come out outside of myself and give $50 today or give $100 today and don't mind doing it and don't think twice about it. Oh, you know what? I've practiced this to the point that I have become freed up and God has freed me from.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, I'm gonna tell you something. See, you right in the path. That, like I said, the five levels of knowledge: the learned knowledge, that's reading the book; revealed knowledge, that's the revelation
yes.
of what is said; and it's got down to your heart. The Holy Spirit that's opened it up to you. Then
yes.
activity knowledge, doing the thing.
Yes.
And then modeling knowledge. You find somebody that's doing what you know that the Holy Spirit revealed to you what you ought to be doing, and be mentored by them, and then teaching knowledge, getting enough information so you can teach somebody else. Now, that's put that in the background. The bottom line, a godly man is a man that understands five levels of knowledge. But here it is. There's a scripture, and Mark 12, 30 and 31. Do you have that? Can you read that? Well, I'm going to tell you what it says. A godly man first is a godly man. First of all, he loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. And then verse 31, and his neighbor as himself.
Yes.
And most people who got good sense love themselves. You know, I'm not talking about in an arrogant way or a narcissistic way, but they love themselves because they're God's creation.
Yes.
So you love God, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So you love yourself, and you love your neighbor.
Yeah.
That's the foundation of being a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next part is that was Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. And then the next scripture, because we talk about being a godly man, hallelujah, is Philippians 2:5. And that scripture, it says, let this mind be in you, which
okay.
is also in Christ Jesus.
Now, yes.
that mind, we say, well, what kind of mind did Christ have? Well, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah, showed that to you in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, this is the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the Spirit. Jesus had the mind of God. He had the mind of God. We supposed to have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus said what his Father said. We're supposed to say what Jesus said. We're supposed to have the mind that Christ had. And the mind of
yes.
God in love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the mind of God. God. That's the character of Christ. That's
yes.
what of that, brother. Young boys, you're supposed to have that. You say, well, that sounds a whole lot. Do you know it's easier to do good than not to do bad? You got to think of, I'm going to try to do this, or I want to steal this. Or, you got to try to figure out, but if you do good, it's so easy. You know, it's easier to tell the truth than it is to tell a lie. Because you're going to have to remember the lie. And if you say, well, sometimes if I tell the truth, if I say something and it's truthful, it might hurt somebody. Well, then you don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Husband, if your wife asks you, baby, do I look fat? Now, brother, I need to warn you. No one, you don't lie because you don't want to go to hell because you want to see us get it happen.
Yeah.
But you say, honey, why would you ask me a question like that? You know you're the most beautiful woman in the world to me. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't answer that question.
But am I fat?
But are you fat? What do you think, baby? I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. But I'm going to tell you, you look good to me, baby. Come here.
Okay.
Give me. Lord Jesus. You might be tap dancing.
Oh.
But watch what you say.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yes.
But
But whatever it is, whatever you say, whatever it is.
Right time.
Yes.
That's loving your wife. Saying the right thing at the right time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The God kind of man. You know, there are seven pillars of wisdom. You find that in Proverbs chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
Seven pillars of wisdom. This is what you guys need to have. Young boys, you will succeed in anything you do if it's righteous. If you keep this in mind, if you know and perform the seven pillars of wisdom. Number one is have a coachable, teachable spirit. Don't be a know-it-all. Because guess what? You don't know it all. Number two, have a burning desire to please God and be excellent. Hallelujah. Number three, have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Number four, have a heart of integrity and honesty. Be a person of your word. Have integrity and be honest. Glory to God. Number five, have a loving heart. That's the subject of life. Yes, life is an open book test, but the subject of life is love. Love is the subject of life.
You know, Bishop, I was just thinking the other day, I'm coming down the highway, and I'm just thinking about that because you say that all the time. And I say to, and I'm thinking kind of out loud, yes, but love trumps everything. I don't care how good.
God says that too.
What is that?
Love bears all things.
Yes.
Love bears some things. Love bears all things. Say that again. Love trumps
everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but brother, you don't know how they treat me so bad. I want to get them because they got me. You know, because they sent me, I got to get them.
Find a way to love them. Find a way to show love, because most of the time, lots of the time, you're right, they do that because that's what they've been trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you, as a man of God, are being trained to go show just the way that God does things and the way God wants you to think, and the peaceable fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. And that's what you want to maintain. And one of the primary way to maintain the fruits of the Spirit is to demonstrate love at every opportunity.
Yes.
No matter what's heralded you, you find a way to demonstrate the love of God.
There's scripture that says, by this shall men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another.
That's right.
And then there's another scripture that says, if you say you love me,
yes,
you say you love God, whom you haven't seen.
Who you haven't seen.
And you hate your brother who you see every day.
Every day. Oh, my God.
God said, I did not say that. I did not write it. Came too late to change. He said, you are a liar.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to leave it at that. But God said that, y'all. I ain't calling nobody. Y'all don't come looking for me. If you come looking for me, go down to 1220 West Lexington Street. Or it's like, No, but God said that.
Don't come for me.
Yeah, hallelujah. But here, okay. So, again, love. Have a loving heart.
Yes.
Number six, have a forgiving heart.
Yes.
If somebody forgave you, you know you haven't been goody two shoes all your life. Come on now. Yeah. I don't care if you're 5 or 50. You done something wrong. Somebody had to forgive you. Mama, daddy had to forgive you. You, one of your sisters or your brothers had to forgive you. Your aunt, yeah. Your uncle, your grandmother, your grandfather had to forgive you for something you did. The pastor, somebody at the church, a teacher had to forgive you for something you did.
That's right.
You have a forgiving heart. And then number seven is have a giving heart. Be willing to give to others. Because, hallelujah, if you give, it's going to be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give it to your bosom for in like manner. In other words, if you freely give, people will freely give to you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go down those seven pillars of wisdom again so you guys know that. First one is have a coachable, teachable spirit. Don't be a know-it-all. Be willing to be coached. Or taught. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Number two, have a burning desire to please God and be excellent. Don't aim to be average. You want to be excellent. You want to be top gun. You want to be the head and not the tail. Above all, not beneath. Hallelujah. Have a willingness to work and go the extra mile.
Yeah.
That's when you didn't have to do it, but you did it.
That's right.
Integrity and honesty. Be honest, not just with others, but be honest with yourself.
Right. You know what I call that business?
Yes. Go ahead.
I call that and then some.
And then some.
And then some.
I like that. And then some.
Do what you know that you have to do, or what you're qualified to do, or what you're supposed to do. And then some.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's what turns the table. That's what turns the tide.
Hallelujah.
And you hear people tell you all the time, well, you just supposed to do that.
That means and then some.
Yeah.
Do what you're supposed to do and then some.
And then some.
That separates you from an employees that just do just enough to stay, not to get fired, but not also to get promoted.
There you go,
the crowd.
Yes.
Have a willing to work and then some.
And then some.
And
go the extra mile and then some. Do a little extra and then some. Add a little on to it. Add the cream. Add the cherry on the top.
Yes, right.
That's
put
right.
The cream.
That's
or put some icing on that plain cake.
Yes.
That's right.
Now the cake would be fine. The cake would be fine without it, but it'd be better with it.
Amen.
The business would be fine. It would flow along without you. It's been doing that for years, but it's better with you.
Now we're talking about the God kind of man. Now
there we go.
The God kind, the godly man.
Yeah.
We mentioned again. Glory to God. Have a heart of integrity and honesty. Be honest. In other words, don't lie.
Yeah.
Don't steal. You know, be honest.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Have a loving heart.
Yeah.
Love folks. Love others. But they treat me. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you.
Yeah.
He said, that's hard. I didn't say it was easy. God didn't say it was easy. But he did say to do it.
Yeah.
Then have a forgiving heart. Forgive. Forgive others. Because somebody forgave you. You know what you did. You know what you did last May 15th. Whatever day of the week it was. You remember what you did. So forgave you for that.
Yeah.
Forgive them. Hallelujah. Then have a giving heart. I don't know, Brother Jerry, do you ever look at the TikToks? I see a lot of these TikToks where people are giving, say, do you have a quarter? I need another quarter or $2 to get on the bus. Do you have it? And they give it to this person, and then they say, this is just a social experiment. I wanted to see who would be the person give me what I asked for. In And because you did that, I'm giving you $1,000.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Man, and some give them $500.
$500.
And look, ever since those, I'm glad those TikTok do that, because now people don't ignore people on the streets.
Yeah, oh, man.
A quarter or 50 cents, because you never know when it's a social experiment.
Yes.
You end up walking away with $1,000.
Because you were a prompt to do it giver.
A prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in the giving. Hallelujah. Because you give. See, the seed you sow is the crop you grow. You plant a little, look, Johnny Appleseed in the early 1800s planted a lot of apple seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that some of the trees, the seeds that he planted, turned out to be trees, they're still alive today, even up apples.
Mm.
2-3 centuries later, they still bearing fruit. Come on now.
Yes,
the seed you sow today may feed your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Have a heart of giving. So those are the
power off.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those are the seven pillars of wisdom.
Yes.
And you want to be a godly man? You deal with that. If you need me to restate that to you, you can call after 8:30 tonight, 410-444-5152, and I'll give them to you again. If you want the 5 levels of knowledge, you can call that same number, 410-444-5152, and I'll give them to you. It's important for y'all to know. A godly man is not a bully. A godly man is not violent. The only one he's violent to is the enemy, the devil.
Is the enemy. That's right. And that is the enemy of his soul.
The devil sometimes better than you treat your sisters and brothers, your family, and your church family. Y'all be all honky-dory with the devil.
Hmm.
And treat your family like they afterthought, like they also ran, like they don't mean nothing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to blame them. Well, it's because you did such and such 10 years ago. I ain't never forgiven you for that. And then you go out with the devil every Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And take a bottle of Who Struck John. And you drink it till it's all gone, and you go stumbling back home.
Mm.
Buddy, buddy, with the devil, and treat your family like dirt. And then you get up there on Sunday and say, praise the Lord.
Mm.
You know, see, if you're very fortunate that it's not Old Testament time. Because lightning will come right there and get you. You drop that. Glory to God. You say, well, wait a minute now. That's something that happened in New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira.
Oh, boy.
Church was on one accord.
Here we go.
A lot of churches ain't on one accord. You got some stubborn folks. You got some bullies in the church. You got some. Now, you get a church. Don't mess around and walk in the wrong church. That's a church where everybody's on one accord and try to do something dirty, call it clean. Lightning may actually come and get you. You may drop dead in the church. You say, oh, that ain't going to happen there. One young man robbed the church down there near that square. Glory to God. But anyway, off of Folk Avenue, glory to God.
Oh.
He came out the church and dropped dead on the steps of the church.
Wait a minute.
You remember
that? This is a true story?
Huh?
This is a true story?
Yeah, that's a true story. I'm trying to think of
Franklin?
Franklin
Square?
It was a school named after that square that church was in. I mean, the church is on one side, school's on another. boy came out, robbed the church, came out and died on the steps.
Oh, my God.
Don't mess around. Lord have mercy. Talk about godly man. Y'all don't mess around with the wrong church, and y'all gonna go in there and try to do something dirty and try to call it clean. You get into a church where everybody's on one accord, like the day of Pentecost. Watch out.
Yeah.
Stuff gonna happen to you, buddy. Now, not way back in Bible days. We in New Testament days right now. This is New Testament days. Hallelujah.
Well, you know what?
Uh-huh.
You know what, Bishop?
Uh-huh.
I think this is what this generation understands, and this is one of the reasons that we have so many shootings and so many get evens, is because immediate retribution is what this generation understands.
Uh-huh.
Immediate response.
Hallelujah.
You know, they're not the Josiah and where they carried the husband and the wife out of the temple for lying to the Holy Ghost. Yes, I think that's, you know, if we had a few of those, you know, and that word traveled around, that would shake the slack out of some of us.
But anyway, guess what? Our time is up.
Oh,
hallelujah. Thank you, Minister Jerry, for joining us. Thank
you
for listening to the Men's Fellowship. We may have to continue with this the next month. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The God kind of man. Hallelujah.
The God kind of man.
God bless you. Heaven smile upon all of you. We love you. Father God, let signs and wonders and miracles follow the
word
for today in Jesus' name. Bless every home, every family represented on this call today. We decree and declare in Jesus' name. You get the glory, you get the honor, you get the praise.
Yes, God.
Thank you. God bless you. Y'all stay tuned. Ladies, if you tuned in early, we're getting ready to give you the Women's Fellowship. And right now, the Men's Fellowship is going off the site screen. Hallelujah.
Power on.
Hallelujah.
Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. The mighty man of valor.
God bless you. See you next month, the second Friday of the month.
Amen.
Power off.
Hey Siri, turn on voiceover.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected. God, that's what I want to be. He's my moon. joy for me. God loves me, not following the crowd. He's the one. That's not what life's about.
One.
The exchange is
7:46 p.m. Speech off.
And I know wherever he leads me, that's the place where he really needs me. And better than time, be great. I'll be humble and meek, and his love empowers me to see God won't die. That's what I want to see. His woman for all the world to see. Him living in
turn you up, Dr. Berry?
Yeah, to his breath.
Hallelujah.
I'll be humble and meek, and his love empowers me to see God who's mine. That's what I want.
Jesus.
Okay, great.
We thank God for another Friday night in which we are able to have women's fellowship, and we have Minister Linda Blackwell.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we have Pastor Maxine Lee. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. And tonight, I'm Pastor Peaches, and I have been joined by these two mighty women of God to talk about mental illness. And I know it's a subject that the church does not touch, maybe a little bit, but it's always been, in my knowledge, it's always been a taboo subject. Years ago, we used to joke, girl, we say we don't go to no psychiatrist, we go to church. But you know what? I thank God for therapists. I thank God for psychiatrists. I thank God for doctors that God has given knowledge to. And God has allowed them to go to school to get degrees to help people in all walks of life. Hallelujah. And for some reason this week, suicide statistics, I don't know, you know, sometimes you're strolling through your cell phone, and for some reason I came across it, and then one day I was talking to a sister in the Lord, and she knows that I recently lost a daughter, and she gave me the name of someone on YouTube to listen to, and this lady's name is Anita Phillips. A-N-I-T-A, Phillips. This lady is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. She is a therapist. She is a doctor. She is a minister. And she travels around the world, and she talks to the church about mental illness. And she's able to, I guess, minister to people on all levels, the body, the soul, the spirit, the mind. Hallelujah. Yes, we can plead the blood of Jesus and Hickam Messiah and anoint with oil, you know. But I thank God that she has a couch that people can go on there and lay down and talk. And sometimes, thanks to God, it's needed. It is needed. Last month, the Church of God in Christ had a district meeting, and one of the questions that was on the panel was they asked Pastor Olivia James how she felt about mental illness or people going to see a psychiatrist. She said, well, there's a lot of people around here that's not diagnosed and a whole lot of them need Prozac. And if y'all don't know, Prozac is a medication that is a psychotropic. It's a psychotropic medication that people that have some mental situations need. And a lot of times, y'all, and I believe it's more undiagnosed ones walking the street than there is diagnosed. And locked up, not in the cage, but locked up. And some things, y'all, when we talk about it, I'm sure it is tickling. But you know what? Sometimes when we see somebody with a situation, sometimes we don't touch it. We just say, oh, Lord, well, just let me come here so I can touch and agree and pray with you. Yes, and then you give them a business card to a doctor so they can go lay on their couch. Because sometimes that's what they need. And I have the number to the suicide helpline, which is 800-273-8255. And there's some statistics. And it says the suicide rate have increased 30% between 2000 and 2018 and declined in 2019 and 20. And it says suicide is the leading cause of death in the U.S. with 45,979 deaths in 2020. And it says the number of people that think about it is even higher. And a lot of times, y'all, we hear a lot of it about the suicide and the mental illness. I say suicide when it comes to young people. And they have the child abuse, bullying, sexual violence, and sexual violence has a higher risk. Hallelujah. We thank God for the scripture in Hebrews 13:5 that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's what we have to let these young people know. That John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We have to get a hold of these young people, no matter how they come off at us or no matter how much they want to. Oh, you're always preaching Jesus. No. And then Psalms 139:14, it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes people will tell when your children or grandchildren are not like others, people want to pick on them and think, oh, well, why you act like this? Why you this? Why you that? I've always stuck out at like a sore thumb, and even as a child, because I've always been mocked and all. But the word of God says I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. And we have to reassure our young people, reassure your grandchildren. And when you have a chance to talk to them and spend time with them, let them know how much Jesus loved them. And let them know, you know, build them up. We have to build them up. And not just our children. When God leads somebody past your house just to sit and talk, you know, they may not even know why they even came past your house. But God let them pass there for you to sit and talk and drop some nuggets in their heart. To let them know how much Jesus loved them. Let them know how special they are to the Lord. You know, you may never know what they're suffering. The enemy is always trying to wipe out the people of God. Always trying to help us to get, trying to make us get rid of our testimony, you know. And sometimes And you may never know just what you may say. This may be just what they need to hear to let them know they're special. They are lovely. They were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And we should like spend even more time with each other. Even just a sip a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, or whatever. Just to build each other up, to encourage each other. Because the enemy puts a lot on the people of God. And even since the pandemic, that's another reason why a lot of children, not just children. Adults have been thinking about, ending their life, too, because they have been separated. They have been to themselves. A lot of people is home for work. A lot of people, yeah. A lot of husbands and wives haven't seen each other, you know, and used to be just seeing each other in passing. Now the whole family in the house by them together. And, oh, my gosh, and this wife looking at this man, who in the world is this Negro out of Murray? I liked it better when we were just two shifts passing in the night. And these are the children. Who in the world these little brats? They not even in school anymore. Oh, my gosh. They're going to drive me crazy. One man, he actually said, oh, my gosh, my wife got to go back to work. She wearing me out for sex, and I can't take it no more. I ain't got no strength. If the children ask for another snack, I'm the one going to snack. They ask for another snack. And it was just like too much for the man. Because all the families, and they were all together. Y'all know how schedules used to be? The father and the mother go out to work in the morning, or one works night, and then another works in the daytime so they can have time with the children. The children go to school early in the morning, don't come home until late afternoon. But then when the pandemic came, everybody home together, it was like, OMG. Oh, my gosh, everybody eating up all the food being devoured all at one time, the family, mom and dad going to the store, to the market every other day. It was like, oh, my gosh, you know. And some people have seen suicide as a way out. And it's been getting on people's nerves that they want to, and some of them have, you know, they just want to get in the car and just drive because their brain needed some air. Their brain needed a break, you know? It's just like, but what do y'all see as a source for the family, a source for the church? What is the job of the church? What can families do? What can people do? I guess to combat the suicide, to combat to bring the family together. What is the answer? Hallelujah. Because everybody's not going to go to church. Everybody's not going to go to a clinic to talk to somebody. A lot of times they don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know I'm going to talk to some doctor. Well, praise God. I thank God he's there because I've been using him.
Yes.
And I know I got a man to God.
Yes.
Thank God for the therapist. Thank God for the doctors. Thank God for everybody.
Yes.
Take it away, y'all. Whichever one y'all want to. Pastor Maxine, Minister Linda.
Thank the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We live in a day and a time like you said, Pastor, that many people are thinking about suicide and the young and the old is thinking about that. But we have to remember that our thoughts that comes in our minds is worldly thoughts. Praise God. What the Bible teaches us and some of the people that are out of the world, most of them, they don't know the scripture that tells us to let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be also in us. And any thought that comes in your mind that tells you to take your life, or to tell you that you're not loved, or to tell you that you're not nothing, that is a thought from the enemy, praise God. It's a thought that because the enemy don't want you to live or to fulfill, all of us are going to have something that we're going to have to overthrow with our thoughts. And one of the scriptures that came to mind was, we have to know that we were bought with a price. And in 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, the third chapter, the 16th verse says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? We just came from celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even those that are not in the church, they recognize, amen, this celebration. They know that something took place. They might not know the understanding, the significance of it, but we have to realize that Jesus paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus paid the price for your thought pattern. He paid the price that you don't have to listen at the dictations of the enemy. We have a lot of kids that get bullied in school. They're told, amen, that they're nothing. They're told that they're dumb. They told them that they're fat.
Uh-huh.
They'll
uh-huh.
say they're ugly.
Yes.
They'll say this. But you remember, you are the temple of God.
Hallelujah.
God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son.
Yes, thank you,
Jesus, for you. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You might not understand it. You might not have really received it. But the Spirit of God dwells in you because you are his temple. His son has paid the price. And as you yield your thought pattern to the pattern of God's word, amen, then you can overthrow the enemy's thoughts that he has put in your mind. And it says, if any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. You are holy. Amen. Which temple are you? Are you a defiled temple? Are you standing for Satan? Or are you going to stand for God? And most of you, praise God, they haven't been taught the significance of salvation. Salvation is free. Amen.
Yes,
God loves them so much, amen, that he gave his only begotten son. And a lot of them are walking around and they don't feel the love of God.
Mm.
They don't understand the love of God.
Yes.
Because they don't see God in their natural eye.
Mm.
But if they just meditate and call and say, God, I need you.
Yes, yes.
I need you to come and touch me.
Thank
I need you to come and put your arms around me.
Yes.
Then they'll begin to feel and
Thank
they
you.
Begin to see that God, you know, this supreme being,
Thank you,
this person that they heard over the radio, they heard, amen, different preachers on the outside, amen, talking about the goodness of God. He said, let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be also in me.
Yes.
Many, many, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord to deliver us out of this world.
Yes.
Thank God. And when you get in a situation, I know growing up, pastors, and Minister Blackwell, when I was growing up, I remember I was brought up in church, amen. But still, the things that would penetrate in my mind and tell me, you're not loved. Go on and taking and hurt yourself, kill yourself. Praise God. But as I began, amen, praise the Lord, to let my mind start thinking on positive things, start thinking about what my sister or my brother or my mother or a friend had done for me, praise God. Then my mind began to turn, amen, praise God, and say, I would tell myself, that's not true.
That's right.
I'm loved. I'm loved. Praise God. And this is what God wants us to do.
Yes.
He wants us, praise God, to abide in him.
Yes.
Amen. And let the words, hallelujah, abide, amen, and that we, amen, can ask whatever we will according to his will, and it shall be done. It is his will that we live, and that we live more abundantly.
Mm.
It is his will that we be a testimony
mm-hmm.
for him.
Mm-hmm.
It is his will that we think on good things,
yes.
amen. It is his will, amen, that as Pastor Peters has said, that we look at ourselves and we say, we are wonderfully made.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
praise
yes.
God. Mm-hmm. You know, God don't want us to live more on these negative things that we see on television,
amen.
That we hear in the marketplace, that we hear in the yard around our neighborhoods, amen. But he wants us to think on good things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It will be good to say amen, praise God.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
To live for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's a good thing to love yourself. Most
amen.
People, praise God, that go through suicide, they don't love themselves. They feel that situation that they're in is so bad, and it's because of them, but that's not true.
Amen.
The situation that you're in, amen, praise God, it is designed, amen, to destroy you, because the word says the thief comes to steal and to kill, amen, praise God.
Yes.
And suicide is murder.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hey, you talk about killing different ones, amen, in the land that has... But when you contemplate suicide, the enemy is putting that sort of murder in your mind and trying to get it in your heart that you will kill yourself.
Mm.
Because what he is doing, he's trying to hinder you from that God has planned for you to do, where you could be a blessing to someone
yes.
throughout the kingdom.
Yes. Amen.
So God wants us to know that we are his children.
Yes.
We are his property. He has paid the price for us. Amen.
Mm.
And our salvation is free. It's nothing new under the sun. The enemy is still trying to do the same thing that he did before, amen, because there's nothing new under the sun. So all his little tricks and all his little tactics, amen, we can place them right under our feet, and we can say to him, I'm not into
Hallelujah. I've lost him. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You still there, Pastor Bird?
Hello?
You still there, Pastor Bird?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I've lost our speakers. Had to call them again.
Okay.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for the word of God that Pastor Maxine is sharing.
All right.
Hallelujah. Because it is needed in the church today.
Amen.
It really is needed. Hallelujah.
You want to give them, and may I share something while,
yes.
while you go?
Yes.
I want to give you, ladies,
yes, you back, Pastor Maxine. Okay. Well, Pastor Bird is it. He's going to share why I call Minister Linda. You can go ahead, Pastor Bird.
Okay. If you're able to get on YouTube,
Linda,
there is a medical doctor and scientist. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. Leaf is spelled like the leaf, L-E-A-F, Caroline Leaf. She's been
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
He has been a scientist and researching the mind and the brain over 30 years. And she's a Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, fire-baptized woman of God. And she goes all over the world preaching and teaching what the Word of God says and what her research has said, which coincides with the Word of God. This is what she said, and I'm going to jump off of this. Scientists now that 75 to 95% of all illnesses, diseases, mental and physical, is caused by your thought life. They have strategically and systematically checked this out, and scientists now say this. This is recent, within the last 30 years. They have said that 75 to 95% of all diseases, illnesses, mental and physical, are caused by what you think. You need to check out Dr. Caroline Lee to get more detail. And she gives scripture basis for what she's saying, and then she gives a scientific basis.
Thank you so much.
And just the last thing, science, God created everything. Science is the explanation of what God created. And when they do it right, keep him in the picture. God bless you.
Thank you for this.
God bless you. Continue.
Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And that is so true, because our thoughts is what dictate to us what we do throughout the day. Your thought pattern will tell you that you are not loved, that nobody's concerned about you. Your thought patterns will tell you, praise God, to stay and be it all day, and your thought pattern to tell you to pick up a liquor bottle and drink it, praise God. Your thought pattern will tell you to take dope, praise God. And what your thought pattern that is dictating to you on the negative side, what it is trying to do, it is trying to destroy you or to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we are living in a land, praise God, we're living in a time that is a lot of negative thoughts that are going out, praise God. It's not too many positive thoughts, because a lot of people, praise God, during the pandemic, they were so, they were worried about the pandemic, whether they were going to get it, praise God. They were concerned because they didn't have the funds they needed. They couldn't go to the store. They couldn't go outside. The children, praise God, they wanted to get back in school, really not going to learn the ABCs, but to see their friends. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy was...
Bless the Lord. I thank God that I'm back with you guys.
Yes. Okay. You
know what?
Mm-hmm. Go on, Pastor Maxie. Uh-huh.
Praise God. It gives the enemy, it opens up the door for the enemy to begin to talk to you more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, as a young child, I know I would tell myself, who am I going to listen to? I didn't really, what you're saying, know the Lord or know him as my personal Savior,
mm-hmm,
like I do today. But I knew of him, and I knew that growing up, I could remember, praise God, just ones were saying, God had created us. Amen, praise God. And I used to say to myself, who am I going to listen at? Am I going to listen at Maxine? Not knowing, Pastor, and that it was the enemy that was putting that thought in my mind, but I thought it was me. Am I going to listen at Maxine, or am I going to listen at what I I've heard the Sunday school teachers say, or I heard my mother say, that God has loved me and he has sent his only begotten son for me. And it's that it's nothing that takes place in my life that God can't handle.
Amen.
And as I began, praise God, just to think on good things, I thank God. I said, when during the pandemic, I thank God. I pray for those, praise the Lord, that had gotten sick, and some people that had passed away and the families was going through hardship. But I began to thank God and said, Lord, Father God, it could have been me.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you because you didn't allow this to come across my pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be a blessing to strengthen somebody that's going through this. And this is how God wants us to begin to think. Amen. He wants us to not to look at the negative thoughts, but he wants us to look at the good thoughts. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said he healeth the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. So every negative thought that comes up across your pathway, remember, you can call on the Lord because he will heal your broken heart. You see, suicide is letting the world know and the family know that you had a broken heart. Amen. That your heart was broken in some kind of way. Amen. That you were hurt in some kind of way. But you can cry unto the Lord, and Lord said, cry out. You don't even have to really understand and say, just help me. My heart is broken. Heal my heart. And he will come on the scene, and he will touch your heart. Amen.
Yes, amen. Minister Linda?
Yes.
Hallelujah. How can you add to Pastor Maxine? How can you add? Hallelujah.
I wanted to share because there was a time I almost gave up. I almost let go. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Trials and things, fights from my childhood up, you know, from my first husband, a hurt and paralyzed, losing children. I mean, there are times in our lives that, you know, we know the word of God and we know our relationship with God, but the things in life can sometimes so devastating,
yes, yes,
so hurtful, and tell the grief of things, the lack of how to get out of things, you know, how do I get past this hurdle? It's almost sometimes so overwhelming,
yes.
As a child, as a teenager, as an adult. We all go through something in life, whether it's teasing as a child or the lack of parenting as we grow up, or, you know, our moms and pops are working and we're left with caregivers that are not kind. There's a lot of things that go on in life that leaves you scarred. But God.
Okay.
And, you know, in my times of going through, I have talked with a psychiatrist.
Great.
Because I had. Because I was thinking about hurting somebody else.
All right.
So we all, there's different realms of things, you know. I wouldn't even keep guns in the house. Okay, there are times that are fast, you know, you want to destroy yourself. There are other ways to destroy yourself outside of suicide.
Uh-huh.
Because the mind is a complex thing.
Yes.
But the words that spoken over me as a child.
My grandmother
would hug me and hold me and tell me how sweet I was and how God loved me.
Thank you, Jesus.
The things in passing when a friend would call and say, Len, you know, you okay? You know, there are times when God just knows when to drop that nugget down in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
That voice, that kindness, that me, that you say, whoa, Father, I hear you. You know, and it's not coming from yourself. It's coming from that I am, you know, that I am has spoken to me.
Yeah.
And those are times where you just need to know that that kind of hurt, baby girl, some kind of hurt sometimes. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know how am I going to make it. You understand? And believe me, I've been there, okay? And
yeah.
God clouds would cool me down and make me think that the breath of God is gone past. Or that breeze would make me think about, oh, it's kind of cool out here, and make me realize that I'm still here.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that I need to be here. So it is a lot of things in life that we go through, and we said, while we're sojourning to this life, and we know that God, you know, those who do know God and those who don't, they've heard of him. It's not a time where I don't think people have known that somebody has dropped a line that God is real and God is this and God. But, you know, it's not until, oh, precious God, it becomes real to you. Because that voice, that person, even to the counselor, sometimes counselors are good, but then you just say, well, I don't want to medicate. I don't want to be on medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
Because there's times when you do need medication. Just like our sister said, to keep you from whatever. But there's a time when that still soft voice comes and ministers to you.
Thank you, teacher.
God sends laborers. And it's not, you know, the overwhelming things. It's just sometimes the touch of someone's hand bringing you back.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, that soft shoulder, when they put the hand on your shoulder, how can you know that it, I know there was a God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because, you know that he knew what you stood in need of. He knew what you stood in need of. And so I thank God that we can talk with our babies and encourage. I am so glad that I had my grandmother and my aunt, different ones talking to me. I'm so glad that I had my sisters and my brothers, not only in my family, but in Christ, that came along and walked beside me through things. And they didn't even know where I was going in my head. They had no idea what I was thinking or what
Praise
I was
God.
But God knew, and that those people were sent by me. He said, the footsteps of a righteous man is ordered.
What about
all the right counsel, the right touch of love, the right hope, the right things. It just makes a difference, because then you know you can say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
And there's still things that I grieve about. Because there is no timeline for grief.
Mm-hmm.
There is no timeline for grief. But you know what? We rejoice because some things we know it's already all right. God has already made it all right. And you know, by we knowing that we're sojourners, we're going to see our loved ones. We're going to be there part of the celebration of life with them again. When we all do that thing, when we all get to heaven, you know. And it's just the joy that God gives and the hope that he gives. And that's what we pass on to one another. My sister's on the phone tonight. I just love you guys. But there's a time there, even to this joining together of us right now, is a gift. It's a blessing. Because we're all still going through something.
Yes.
And we support and we love and we strengthen one another. And with all different things going on. But there's God, see, he still knows.
Thank you, Jesus.
He sees beyond. He knows beforehand. We're just walking. But God already knew this was a divine plan for this life.
Hallelujah.
God already orchestrated it. But then I listen and I hear and then and he brings back to my remembrance things.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what, Father? Thank you, Jesus. You want me to do you. I want you to use it to your glory. I want to be the feet to someone. God says how we know one another, not a love that we have.
Thank you.
So this is beautiful. I've listened and I've been, my first thought was, I don't have anything to do. I said, so what you do?
Yes.
Because you lived life.
Hallelujah.
You walked even the shadow of death.
Yes.
You have been in the storms. You have been persecuted. You've been, you name it, it's been happening in our lives.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
God.
Praise
God. Praise God. Yes.
And to be there for one another. This is
Yes.
This is the thing that my grandmom has to me that I'm passing on, and I'm understanding.
Yes.
This curve is over.
Yes.
This is not just for us. This is for whoever, whomsoever that will hear us. And God has given us to speak out of our mouths truth. The truth and power to the word of God.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much for sharing, for Minister Linda. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much, Pastor Maxie. Hallelujah. You are two powerful women of God. We thank God for all that you have shared from the word of God and personal from your lives. Hallelujah. We thank God for the word of God and everybody that it has, whose ears it has fallen on. And we just, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for seed that it was sown, bread to eat, and the truth, the fruit of our righteousness. Lord God, we ask you to bless even the hearers. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, bless these women of God to continue to touch people's lives, Lord God, in your name. Hallelujah, we thank you, Lord God, for women's fellowship. Hallelujah, we thank you, Lord God, even for one day getting women together, Lord God. And just being able to just minister to each other. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Until the next time, y'all be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Empowered me to be God. has